This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. My name is Adam Ritz. We're on The Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs, and we try to do it, with some fun in mind. Not everything has to be gloom and doom, and we do it with Jay Baker. He talk about gloom and doom. You are the absolute opposite of that, Jay. You bring sunshine into my life.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but if you know the neighbor kids cut across my yard, that gloom and doom comes up pretty quick.
Jay, you're just a joy to have, but if you see Jay's dark side, boy, you do not want that gloom or that doom.
If I hear a basketball bouncing at 10 o'clock at night, don't make me come out there, young man.
Oh my goodness. Well, Jay, I wanted to start with an endowment I heard about this week. The Legacy of Life Endowment just surpassed a major milestone this week in raising over $1 million to fund child cancer research and heart research. $1 million was given to the American Heart Association by the Legacy of Life Endowment. How about that?
That's impressive.
It was started 25 years ago for the funds to research specifically congenital heart defects. So we'll put a link on our website to their website, Legacy of Life Endowment, and wish them the best of luck as they get to that 2 million mark. We'll see how long it takes them to get there to get that money to the American Heart Association.
That is great news. And you and I have always talked about your charitable gifts sometimes do more than you imagine, and a lot of it is compounding. As you know, it's a lot of people giving, and not everybody can afford to give a million, but everybody can afford to give a dollar or more, you know?
Yeah, if we just get a million people to give a dollar, there's your million.
There you go. Hey, you know, we do a lot of research for this show because we want to share with you things that will sort of improve your life. And we don't like to lecture, and we don't like to, even though it does kind of turn out that way, just conclude that everything in our lives is just have moderation. That's all you need to know. Because
yeah.
Then you'd go, well, wait a minute, you're not really helping me out. But I found the tenor of this research very interesting, because this has stuck with me most of my adult life. There was a great survey done, and I think they did it through the production company that does the show, 60 Minutes. And they ask a number of older citizens, what is overwhelming advice that you've received? And they were saying it could be simple, mundane, it could be complex. Just give us some of the most profound advice you've received. And a handful of nuggets came out of that, not the least of which, something that has stuck with me for quite a long time. One gentleman said, you should try to make as many friends as you can outside of your workplace, because your work and your life's work can change throughout the years. But if you select true friends, your true friends will remain your friends. And I thought that was powerful advice.
That's a great point. I mean, if you change jobs, you're going to change friends. If your only friends
yes.
are at work.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So I just thought that was pretty profound. You know, we have dealt with on this show the fact that there is a lack of interaction that we just don't have as many friends as we think we do. And we do find it interesting that part of social media is, well, how many friends are there in your group? And you and I know that the word acquaintances might be much more appropriate in that particular setting. Mm-hmm. But there was a great article, and it would take us an hour to unpack on the show, so I'll just give you the super quick highlights. It's individuals in their 50s that would share information with their brethren who are in their 40s. And it was basically things like, make sure you have a financial plan, make sure you floss your teeth, make sure you go to your doctor. I mean, these seem simple, but it's pretty good advice. So I will put this to you, Adam. What is the one piece of advice you would give to someone that is 10 years younger than you are?
Okay. I got this advice early in my radio career. A mentor of mine told me this: don't try to be funny, just try to have fun.
Huh.
And Jay, the trivia here is, can you guess who told me that?
It might have been a much younger Jay Baker.
It was you
that told you that.
Yes. Yeah. You told me that early in my first on-air radio job in 1993, I believe.
Wow.
You were a seasoned broadcaster. I was just starting out, and you said, Adam, don't try to be funny on the radio. Just try to have fun. And wow, that's always stuck with me. And I think even outside of radio, you can apply that to your life, especially I think of like social media. When people run to make a post and they're trying to be funny, sometimes you just come off like a blowhard or even worse, an inconsiderate jerk. Or even worse than that. I mean, if it is really damaging to your character, you could get fired if you tried to, right, be funny on your Instagram or X accounts. So don't try to be funny. Just try to have fun. And if you just try to have fun, you almost can't fail because no one's going to get hurt. You're just trying to have fun. If you don't accomplish that, then you're just not going to have any fun. If you try to be funny and don't accomplish it, you could offend someone, you could get fired.
Yeah, I think that is great advice. And nowadays, you are correct. And the caveat I would add to that, too, is while having fun, don't take things so seriously. I know each week you and I, when we put the show together, talk about how sometimes in social media, people get really, really wound up. And you and I know that there will be something new next week to get you wound up. So getting wound up this week is probably not the best idea.
There's just too much online and on social media. You can't get that worked up over it.
No, absolutely not. So, yeah. So think about what advice you'd impart, and then think about looking up some of these articles about more seasoned citizens dispensing advice, because I'm certainly, when I was 20 years old, I thought to myself, why, I know everything. I won't be needing any advice today. And now I find myself going, do you have some advice?
Please, anyone, please. Does anyone have anything they can tell me? You know, what's interesting about your study there, Jay, is that I never thought about advice being a valuable resource from a 55-year-old to a 45-year-old. You always think of like elder advice being, an elder statesman, 65, 75, 85 years old, telling a 15 to 25-year-old young man their life lessons. It's very interesting to me that you're taking a 55-year-old person and having them give advice to a 45-year-old person? What can they know over the next 10 years to navigate their lives to be in a better spot just 10 years down the road when they're 55? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a great perspective to think about, that it's not hyper-specific. It's more along the lines of, you know, take time to smell the roses, go to your doctor, make sure you floss. I mean, these are mundane topics, but they're important life lessons, absolutely. Now, not everybody would do this, but if you are a dog lover, this should make you at least think, that is interesting. A biotech company called Loyal has cleared a major regulatory hurdle in an effort to bring the first anti-aging drug for dogs to the market. Isn't that interesting? In fact, most larger breed dogs oftentimes live about 20% shorter lifespans than smaller dogs. So in order to sort of counteract this, the company says that this drug will slow biological aging and helps dogs maintain quality of life in their later years. If successful, it could be commercially available by the end of 2027, making it the first longevity treatment approved for any species.
That's is it the first step towards getting humans the same sort of drug or medicine?
I think that's kind of the implication here, is that, you know, they're probably going to look at this if this does become a success for animals.
Will it be suspicious if I purchase this drug since I don't have a dog?
You know, I'm a big dog. I could live a long time. But yeah, it's very interesting. I have some friends who are such dog lovers, and you couldn't blame them for at least wanting to try this if they prove that it's safe.
Yeah, you know, get a little more time with Fido for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or recently come back from the moon on one of the Artemis missions to know that gas prices, they're a little high. They don't seem to be wanting to come down super quick. There are some tips on how to help with gas, believe it or not. While you drive around town, one way to reduce gas usage is plan out your trip so that you're doing them in a consecutive manner. You'll burn less gas. And believe it or not, you might be able to create some carpooling experiences. Now, you're probably not going to be able to get everybody in your neighborhood to share rides, but there are a number of groups out there that have explored bartering things. You might be able to get some people to agree to some carpooling.
It's really a great idea. I love the tips to save gas. And
it's not a bad idea. And you probably noticed the last time you filled up, it is kind of an ouch experience.
It is. It is. It's something that I know a lot of people will just... you know, you used to fill up the whole tank. Now you're just saying, you know what, I'm going to get $10 worth.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And what stinks is, depending on your part of the country where you reside, $10 worth might just be 2 or 3 gallons. And, you know, all of a sudden, just a short 2 days later, you got to stop for another $10 worth of gas.
Yeah, it's never ending. By the way, AAA weighed in with their simple tricks. One is to drive slower. That's sort of kind of a duh, but yes, driving slower does save fuel. Turn off the AC. Now, we're getting into some months where that may not be possible.
Isn't that an urban legend, that running your AC uses more fuel in your car? I would like to believe that's an urban legend, but apparently it isn't.
Well, I would also like to believe that given my situation, I'm not turning off my AC for anybody. Yeah, that's kind of a mandatory here in the Great Midwest where this show is recorded. And then here was an interesting note. If you take unwanted items out of your car or unneeded items, you an extra 100 pounds in your car reduces your miles per gallon by about 1%. So if you think about it, you got the heavy golf clubs, maybe you got your gym bag, maybe you just got some stuff that you don't need to haul around on every trip. You might just open up the trunk and say, hey, this would be better off in the garage.
You know, I'm laughing because last week I went to the box store and I bought 12 bags of mulch. And I was tired and too lazy to take them out of my SUV and put them in my yard to be used later. So I drove around the Midwest with probably 600 pounds of mulch in my car.
Proving that, yes, the efficiency went down.
I wondered why I had to stop for gas more.
So, yes, the mulch better off in your yard than in your trunk.
Yeah.
But that's the story about gas. Hey, we mentioned Artemis. Did you follow much of the Artemis mission? The four astronauts going to the dark side of the moon and back.
Yeah, I didn't follow it like an addiction, but I did. I did see some stuff. I was well aware, yeah.
It's pretty cool, and they're leading up to eventually having a manned mission to the moon and then possibly build a manned space station on the surface of the moon. Now, these are all, you know, the gist of science fiction films, but they are readying Artemis 3. That'll be the next Artemis mission. It's set for 2027. The Artemis 3 will head into space, and they'll actually dock with a commercial spacecraft. The data collected from Artemis 2 will be used to craft Artemis 3's mission. The ultimate goal is to get humans back on the lunar surface. You know, Adam, you and I are getting a little older, but when you were younger, would you have thought about going to the moon?
No, I don't think I've never had that exploration gene in me to get that crazy. I do know some people, though, when the rumors were flying about going to Mars, people were like, yeah, yes, I'd go to Mars. I would leave Earth right now and go live there. Count me in. So,
well, you remember the original premise of the Mars mission was they were looking for athletic, scientific individuals. They had a pretty specific age range, and I can't remember what it was, but they literally said that you would, if you wanted to be selected for this, you had to contemplate that you might come to Mars and never return to Earth. And they still had thousands of people say, well, I'd give it a try.
Yeah, I'm in. I think you just hit on the head why I wasn't eligible to go. You said they were looking for people with low body fat percentage that were good at math. And so I was out.
That athletic scientist, that DJ was not part of the profile. Degenerate donut eater was not on the list.
There's no donuts on the moon?
Loves or fake goods. Yeah.
Okay, I'll stay on Earth.
Hey, here's an interesting story. Let's not laugh. We all know it could happen to us. New Jersey leads the nation in the number of young adults living at home with their parents.
Okay, that's a trend. I mean,
that is a trend.
If they're leading the nation, then it's happening quite often. I have people in my life that I know, friends and family, that have adult children that are living at home. So this is widespread, my friends.
Well, think about this. Now, they lead the nation, but it is 44%. So we're just about half and half of New Jersey residents ages 18 to 34 are living with their folks. 18 to 34. So, you tend to think, well, maybe 18 to 21, 18 to 24, but 18 to 34-year-olds.
That's a top end there. That's a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. 34-year-olds living at home with their parents.
Living at home, and it's 44% in New Jersey. It's about 33% currently nationwide. Now, they said the big problem in New Jersey is that a medium price of a home is $558,000.
Home prices have really sort of driven this statistic. It's not
Certainly, not just
Gen Z that doesn't want to leave the basement. This is a housing pricing issue for sure. Connected.
Yeah, definitely. So it's the intersection of expensive housing and, like you said, I think sort of a little different life course for those that are younger, but that is a big number, 44% in New Jersey still living at home.
Well, that's, everyone's happy. I know some parents that are happy that their 25-year-old kids still live at home. I mean, that's a bonus time with their kids. Usually they're trying to, for our generations, Jay, we were clamoring to get away from our parents.
Hey, at least you know where your kids are. They're right there under your roof, right?
Yeah.
Well, now let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Younger adults living at home. How about you're a little older and you say to yourself, what's a good retirement state to live in? And literally, you think about the whole state because there's a whole lot of factors. Motley Fool released their best places to retire this year. The report found that Arkansas is the best for cost of living and housing costs. So Arkansas is considered to be the best state to retire in.
Now, Jay, why does Motley Crue think they're smart enough to come up with this list?
Yeah, it's not Motley Fool. It's Motley Crue. And Nick Mars, who I don't do anything in my life without checking with him.
That's the real
Nick
irony.
Mars,
no, it's Mick
me.
Mars. You're right. That's the real.
Mick Mars.
The irony is this is Motley Fool that came up with the list, and and the members of Motley Crue are past retirement age.
Well, that is the irony, isn't it? In fact, Vince Neil is taking notes as we speak.
I think he earned that nickname on the '87 tour, Motley Fool.
Absolutely. Hey, the good news is not everybody's inclined to go to Arkansas. Less things going on in Arkansas, but it's a beautiful state. Ohio follows behind Arkansas, rounding out the top five, Kentucky and Texas. So there's some food for thought. As the other thing that enters into retirement is the thing when they take away the state sales and income tax, I become all ears.
Yeah, I knew Texas had no income tax. I thought Tennessee might be high on the list with they've got some good tax rates in the state of Tennessee. I'm surprised to hear Ohio is one of the top states to retire in just because of the brutal winter.
Yeah, winter's not fun. This is factoring in cost of living and cost of housing more so than climate, because you are correct. While we have some wonderful states, in fact, if you like cooler weather, there's a whole huge nation that will allow you to come and live with them about 4 months out of the year. You could go live in Canada and really get chilled off.
You could. I mean, Jay,
Manitoba is beautiful this time of year.
I would retire to Manitoba as long as I could spend 8 months of the year in Florida.
Ah, see, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne is going to be honored with a limited edition watch. There's a watch company called Split Watches. They're based in London. They announced the global release of the Ozzy watch. Only 50 of these watches will be exclusively available, and they will become available on May 14th at Split Watches. That's S-P-L-I-T. The item is going for nearly $3,000, but the reason we brought this up is all the proceeds will be donated to Music Cares.
That's great that even in his afterlife, he's still involved with raising money for great causes. I'd love to see what this watch looks like. I'm sure it's going to have his signature Ozzy logo somewhere, maybe at the number at the 6 o'clock mark. Maybe there's a big O at the 6 o'clock mark, or the maybe right at mid, at when the hands reach the 12, right at the witching hour, it belts out, you know, Shot in the Dark, or one of his songs.
Shout at the Devil, or
well, that was Motley Crue.
No, that's Motley Fool.
That's Motley Fool.
The Motley Fools. Yeah. No, I think it does Crazy Train right at midnight.
Yeah, right at Blizzard of Oz, maybe right at the quarter hour. I'd love to hear the dongs on this watch.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool. $3,000, though, so make sure you save up.
I thought it'd be, that's not, I mean, I don't have $3,000 to buy an Aussie watch, but that's not a bad price. I mean, there are collectors and people that make a living, you know, high enough to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to get an Aussie watch. They're spending money on a watch anyway, especially let's say your dad, the guy that has everything. Where are you going to buy him? And he doesn't know about this. What a great little keepsake to get your dad for Father's Day around the corner, maybe the next holidays, stocking
They're
stuffer.
Only going to make 50 There's of only them, 50 and of Father's them. Father's Day is coming up. Can you imagine? Hey, Dad. Yeah, son, I don't get to see you that often. What's eating you? Well, it's Father's Day, and I got you an Aussie watch.
And if my kids are listening, I would rather just hand me two, just give me $3,000. Hey, you know
You'd
what? Save $1,000. Give me $2,000 and save $1,000. There we go.
You'd just rather have 10 bags of mulch, I think, is what you'd rather have.
Yes.
Well, you know, we all have these boss figures, and you always wonder, how am I going to interact with my boss? Well, Mark Zuckerberg is creating an AI clone of himself to interact with employees at his company, Meta.
Isn't he already an AI clone of something else?
There is the possibility that the Mark Zuckerberg I know, we've been interacting with a robot all along. But apparently he wants to make an interactive AI version of himself so that employees might feel more connected with him. Now, this is the actual sentence from the article. How would you feel more connected to something that you've already announced ahead of time is it's a facsimile. It's not the real thing.
Jay, I'm pretty sure that you could pull any employee at any company and say, would your job be better or worse if there was an AI version of your boss that you could talk to more often than your real boss? I don't know if anybody would want that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. They're actually they're training the photorealistic 3D clone with his image, his voice, his mannerisms, and tone. The company might start letting people make AI copies of themselves if the Zuckerberg clone works out.
Well, that's a mistake. They should give it at least a better jawline and a lower voice. Don't you think? Why would you want the same exact?
I would think so.
Why would you clone that?
Yeah, so go figure. But of course, in the world of technology, that that look out for the AI clone boss.
Jay, I think as we wrap up this episode, I'm looking forward to maybe we get an AI version of you and me that we can just have in everybody's home in America to let them know about all the public affairs information happening in the world. I'm going to message Mark Zuckerberg and his clone and see if we can get them to work on that. Jay, thank you so much for all of your help. This was a great show for our listeners. If you want to hear any of our past episodes in podcast form, you can They're listed on our website, AdamRitzShow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.